Amen. Thank you very much, Brother Beal. Dr. Comfort, it's a privilege to be here. Ambassador has been a blessing to us at our church. We've had many graduates, evangelists over the years. My family's sitting right over here. I have my wife, Stan Wanda. We've been married 29 years. And then our children are here, Daniel, then Emily, and Debbie. Stand up. They're all here, and glad to have them. Thank you. Turn your Bibles, 1 Timothy chapter 4 this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you'd turn there, please. I want to preach on this topic, warnings to those going to war. Warnings for those going to war. I want to speak to the graduates this morning, and of course we'll let others listen in. But there's a war out there, isn't there? There's a battle going on, and of course the Word of God has the answer. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to start reading in verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11, we'll read down to the end of the chapter. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, that's what the Bible says, to exhortation, what the Bible means, and to doctrine, what the Bible teaches. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Now to the text for this morning. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. God wants you, graduates, to have a long and fruitful ministry. Not only does God want you to have a kind of ministry like that, the world needs you to have that kind of ministry. And in order to have that kind of ministry, there are several warnings in this text, in this verse, that we must take heed to and we must apply. A poem written a long time ago in Flanders Fields, the last stanza says this, and this is like from an older generation to a younger generation. It says this, take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields. It's talking about the passing of the torch of truth from one generation to the next. And God wants each one of us to have a long and fruitful ministry. And there's four warnings I find in our text this morning. The first warning is to our conduct. Do you see it there in the first part of the verse? Take heed unto thyself. We must be wary of our conduct, of our own spiritual life. There's a tendency to only watch others. And as we have that tendency, the tendency is to forget to watch ourselves. Boy, it's a tragedy of how many individuals have littered the landscape of fundamental Christianity that could preach and teach and do all kinds of things, but couldn't watch their own life, couldn't stay true to the things of God. Other verses teach us the same things. Titus 2:1 says, the things which become sound doctrine or go along with sound doctrine. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch ye, be careful. Pay attention to your life. Acts 20:28 says, take heed to yourself and to all the flock. But first it says, take heed to yourself. Before you can have a flock, you got to be watching yourself. You got to be paying attention to yourself. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5 says, watch thou in all things. The Bible is reminding us of the importance of a spiritual guard in our life. You have had the privilege of going to a college with rules and standards. Every place doesn't have that. Standards are changing as we look on the landscape today, but we must understand that these are guides to help us to watch our life, that our life could be pure, that our life could be used of His. God only uses clean vessels. Amen? So many times today we think that we can excuse away our sin and we can justify it and we can explain it away, but never forget, God is watching your life. And He intends you to watch yourself. The first person every message should be preached to is yourself. Because no one else is fit to hear the message until it's gone through your life. There's an NBA player this last year. His name was Gilbert Arenas. He took a handgun into the locker room. against the law, against the rules of the NBA. He was suspended. Now think about this. He lost, suspended, he lost his salary, $87,000 a game. Multiplied out by 60 games that were left in the season. And we say, how foolish can somebody be to lose that kind of money just to take a handgun into the locker room? But how foolish some servants of the Lord are to think that they can preach and live any way they want to. To think that it is all right to go and to do anything we want to, and that God is going to overlook it and people are going to overlook it. No, the Bible says, watch yourself. Watch yourself. There can be a mentality that develops. We have to be careful about this. And the mentality is that I'm all right. I have attained. I have got to this standard. If you're not careful, when you get that degree tonight, you can start thinking that way. Or maybe someone's been in the ministry for a while, or been faithful, or accomplished a certain thing, and you can start to let down on your guard. And that is when the devil is going to come in. Watch, take heed unto thyself. Take heed unto thyself. One time I was with a group of preachers, and after a preaching meeting, we went out to eat at this restaurant. Mexican restaurant. I like that kind of stuff. And we were there. Now, there's finally some amens. Anyway, no, wait a second. And we were at this Mexican restaurant, and an older gentleman came in, greatly used of the Lord, and he came into the restaurant, and he was still carrying his briefcase. And I thought, that's a strange deal. And we got there to get ready to eat, and everybody, they had, it was a restaurant with very nice napkins, and this guy pulls out of his briefcase, not like a napkin, more like a towel. You know what I mean? And he tucked it in up here, and then he put it down in front of his suit, and he wrapped it all the way around him, and I thought, good night. You know, and I thought, boy, I hope when I get old, I'm not that bad, really. I hope, you know, my kids will stop me from being that bad. And every once in a while, during the meal, I kind of look down at that guy and I go like, wow, that's rough when you get that bad, you know. I mean, there was no way any food could get anywhere, you know. And every once in a while, in my superiority, I kind of look down at him and kind of just chuckle to myself until one time I looked down at him. And then as I was looking back to the preacher on this side, I noticed something out of the corner of my eye on my shirt. On my white shirt that wasn't covered with a towel. It was some food that had slipped out. Now, how long it had been there, I don't know. I hope I don't ever find out. Maybe I've been talking for a half hour and the food had been right there on my shirt. It's funny how you can watch others and start to feel pretty good about yourself and kind of get lifted up in yourself. You know that? Hey, you know what? Boy, we appreciate Bible colleges like this. My wife and I got to go to a Bible college like this. What a blessing it is. But if you're not careful, you can develop a little bit of that mindset. You know that? And that's not anything negative. I'm being positive. I'm just telling you, there's a tendency to be that way. Hey, listen, you're going to go start a church. You're going to deal with people that haven't had the privileges you've had, haven't had the preaching you've had, haven't been able to sit where you got to sit. And before you can ever preach to them, watch yourself. Watch yourself. Don't think it'll be all right. There's the first warning is our conduct. But do you see the second warning with me as we continue on the verse? And that is our creed. Our creed, it says in verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Unto the doctrine. Titus chapter 1 verse 9 talks about sound doctrine. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 10, for thou hast fully known my doctrine. There was no equivocation there, was there? He understood exactly what he believed, and he preached what he believed. He knew what he stood for. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Listen, a preacher of the last generation said this, and it's still so true. Right doctrine leads to right living. And right living leads right back to right doctrine. Listen, the first thing you're going to notice is when somebody's life changes, their doctrine changes as well. But the opposite of that statement is true too. Wrong doctrine leads to wrong living. And wrong living only leads back to more wrong doctrine. Never has there been a day in which there has been so much change and no one will admit they have changed. Colleges are changing. Churches are changing. Preachers are changing, but they will not admit they are changing. They want to change at the same time they say we are standing where we have always stood. It's not true. Boy, the revisionist history is not only taking place in the public school textbooks, my friend. It's taking place in a lot of places where they will not admit that they have changed from the foundation, the founding principles of what they had. Now listen, you have been taught the Word of God, and you have been taught the truth of the Word of God. And the Bible, the Word of God, does not change. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. I've often said there's two main attacks that come in doctrine. The first one is on the Word of God, and the second one is on the Son of God. John chapter 1 calls them both the Word of God, doesn't it? But those attacks are still today. And we don't have time to cover an entire doctrinal study this morning. You've received it in your classes, of course, but I want to highlight two areas. First of all, is the authority of the Word of God. The authority of the Word of God. It's simple that if we believe and teach what the Bible says, and you understand and you've grasped what you've been taught in this fine college, you understand that the Word of God is authoritative. I like what one guy just wrote when he said he finally came to the TR position, to the King James position. He said, I was sitting in another college, not this college, I was sitting in another college, and I saw sophomore first-year Greek students looking at the critical apparatus correcting the text. Kind of interesting. If you've ever been around sophomore Greek students, you know how much fun that is. I thought it was kind of an appropriate statement about how easily we can drift away from the authority of the Word of God. Boy, it's sad, but sometimes today, and you're going to have to be careful, you're going to watch this, even in fundamental circles, it's hard to stand and say, thus saith the Lord, because they don't know what God said. But the authority of the Word of God has not changed. Now, let's just accept something this morning, very simple. If you were to go out into this world and be a science teacher, and you were to be have so much audacity to say you believed in creation, they would think you're nuts. They would think you probably married your cousin, you know, and you didn't wear shoes, and your ears hung a little lopsided on your head. Now, let me just tell you something. In so-called fundamental circles, make sure you understand that, so-called fundamental circles, if you have the audacity to believe that the Word of God is still the Word of God, you're going to be looked at a little bit goofy yourself. Because this world is changing. And those old landmarks are being torn down if we're not careful. There's still some that will not bend. There's still some that will not give in. But the authority of the Word of God has not changed. There'll be a never-ending supply of new books coming out. There'll be a never-ending supply of new writers, new ideas, but let's just settle it right now. The Word of God has spoken. Amen? The Word of God. The authority of the Word of God. And second of all, the accessibility of salvation. The fact that Jesus died for everyone. My grandfather was saved. This is 1937. My grandfather was led to the Lord in 1937. He was a 57-year-old Minnesota Lutheran, and he was milking cows and a preacher boy from Northwestern College. That's where W.B. Riley held forth for many years. In the 30s, a preacher boy from W.B. Riley's college came out and was witnessing to the men out in their farms while they milked cows in the morning. And my grandfather, over a period of a couple weeks, was witnessed to by this preacher boy who got the fire in his soul from W.B. Riley. And my grandfather received Christ out in the barn in 1937. Let me just tell you something, men. There's others like that out there. And you need to understand this simple teaching, not only the authority of the Word of God, but that anyone and everyone can be saved. And we need to take the gospel to every single person. We had this little kid coming to our church. Boy, he was rambunctious. That's a good way to say, you know. When he wasn't around, we say he had ADD or whatever. But, I mean, he couldn't sit still. I mean, he could not sit still. I don't know what he was like in school. I don't want to find out. And this little kid came in. One Sunday, I was picking up the kids, and his mother started coming out of the house. And I thought to myself, well, this can't be good. I don't know where this is going, but it can't be good. And she came out, and she said, we're going to be moving, and Russell isn't going to be able to come to church anymore. I kind of did a little jig inside, just a small little jig, you know, because we couldn't get the kid to sit still. And Russell came out, and Russell was in normal Sunday morning dress, still had his pajamas on, still had breakfast on his face, just a great little kid. I said, Russell, we're going to miss you at our church. Russell looked up, and he says, I guess it's good we have Jesus in our hearts then, isn't it? We can take him anywhere we go. That's from a 9-year-old bus kid, my friend. That's from a 9-year-old bus kid. We're not sure he was getting anything because he couldn't sit still. I tell you what, Jesus can save anybody. Amen. I tell you what, when we get to the point where we don't think that's true, we're well nigh worthless. A teacher at a so-called fundamental seminary wrote on the internet a while ago. He was teaching now what would even he would call probably a conservative evangelical seminary. But he said this. It offended me then. It still offends me now. But I'll just say this. He said, some preaching in fundamentalism is so poor, it can't reach anybody with an education. Now, what he's saying, I know exactly what he's saying. He's saying he's intellectual and we're not. That's what he's saying. But let me just say, and I reject that thinking. And to the extent that you accept a college graduate, you are going to become well nigh worthless for the ministry yourself. And we need to understand that God can save anyone. Do I believe a child can get saved in church? Absolutely, I believe it. Do I believe that an older person can get saved? Amen. But let me just tell you something. The Word of God is authoritative, but it is also open and free to everyone. It's not just for a certain select few. That's what these so-called intellectuals will want us to believe today. But take heed unto the doctrine. Boy, there's change everywhere, isn't it? Ephesians 4:14 says, be careful of every wind of doctrine. Wind of doctrine. Some people, their doctrine changes all the time, doesn't it? We have to be careful of that. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, and some shall depart from the faith. You're going to see that, graduates. It's going to be tragedy. It's going to be tragic. It's going to be heartbreaking. But not only is there a problem of change today, but the second problem is that we believe, and this is taught by so many people, that we can draw a line between our belief and our behavior. You ever heard that? You see, that's why the text so closely ties them together. It says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. What some will say was, I am not going to change my doctrine, but I will change my living. It's not true. When you've changed your living, you've changed your doctrine. And the problem is we think and we accept this is a conservative evangelical philosophy, that you can draw a line between those two. Oh, we like the Word of God, but those old-time standards are not for today. That old-time living, that living a life of integrity is not for today. Listen, the Bible says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. We won't turn there, but Jude 3 says what? Earnestly contend for the faith. What is the faith? It's the body of revealed truth. What is that? That's orthodoxy. But then what does it say? Earnestly contend. That's militancy. Listen, the old timers, the last generation, which I am not ready to throw in the trash heap like some are, the last generation knew what it was like to fight and knew what it was like to stand when there was an issue to be stood for. Unfortunately today, we have a lot of people that have become pacifists in the cause of Christ. But if you're going to go to battle, and you are going to battle, if you're going to go to war, the first warning is about your conduct, but the second warning is about your creed. Your creed. A.W. Tozer passed away in 1963. Now listen to this. A.W. Tozer. It's a lengthy quote, but listen to me carefully. He says, each generation of Christians must look to its beliefs. While truth itself is unchanging, the minds of men are porous vessels out of which truth can leak out, and into which error may seep to dilute the truth they contain. The human heart is heretical by nature and runs to error as naturally as a garden to weeds. We don't think that way. We think we're smart enough to not go that direction. We think that we are intellectual enough. We have been taught well enough. The truth is we're all still sinners. It says this, all a man, a church or denomination, and I could add a college, needs to guarantee deterioration of doctrine is to take everything for granted and do nothing. The unattended garden will soon be overrun with weeds. The heart that fails to cultivate truth and root out error will shortly be a theological wilderness. Boy, there's places in America you can go, that's true. Colleges of the past generation used to stand, and churches that used to stand. The church or denomination or preacher that grows careless on the highway of truth will before long find itself astray, bogged down in some mud from which there is no escape. Tozer said it before he passed away in 1963. It's still true today. It's still true today. What a tragedy it is when some place changes. A preacher I heard a long time ago preach, and he said this. He said, If you don't know where someone stands and you haven't checked them just recently, you better want to check up. I understand his point. Now, he's fallen from the ranks of fundamental Christianity himself, the man that said that, but his point is still true. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. The third warning we see, continuing on in verse 16, it says this, continue in them. The third warning is to our commitment. The third warning is to our commitment. It is easy to start. It is hard to finish. It is easy to start. I have to ask you this, graduates, how much damage has been done to the cause of Christ by those who quit? I could take you to towns in Nebraska where it's just about impossible to start a church because so many guys have tried and quit. And that's not just true of Nebraska. I wonder what it's like on the mission field of someone who went and only spent one term and left those converts to just go on their own. And listen, if you're not going to finish, don't ever start. You make sure God has done a thorough work in your heart and in your life. What does it say in Proverbs 24 and verse 10? If thou faint in the day of adversity, what? Thy strength is small. Listen, there's going to be a lot of days of adversity in the ministry. If it wasn't that way, it wouldn't be the ministry. It wouldn't be fulfilling the Great Commission. But we need people that will struggle on and keep going through the days of adversity. Proverbs 24, 16 says, the just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. There's a man that won't quit, that'll keep on going. A man from the country of Tanzania came to run the marathon in the Olympics. He fell a couple times, was bloodied, fell way behind, and by the time he finished, you can picture the scene. They run into the stadium. There was hardly anybody there. And they said to him, well, why did you keep going? I mean, no one's here. No one's going to notice. He said, my country didn't send me halfway around the world to quit. My country sent me halfway around the world to finish. To finish. Listen, if you're going to stand up and say, God has called me to do this, you make certain God has called you to finish it too. To stay at the job. To stay at the task. Well, I'm sure you've been taught the life story of Adoniram Judson at this school, but boy, it's good to remember, isn't it? 6 years, no converts. Mission board wrote him and said, what's going on? And he said, the future is as bright as the promises of God. Finally, one was saved. Several more years with no converts. After 11 years on the mission field, thrown in the prison. Unbelievable suffering. Six of his children were buried on the mission field. His first and second wives are buried in the mission field, and still Judson kept going. What was in that man? I tell you what was in that man. It was the fire of God in his soul. It was somebody that understood what it meant to when it says continue in them. Continue in them. Stay true to the things of God. Stay true to the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6, listing the requirements of the bishop, says this, not a novice. Not a novice. Be careful. By your life, you may prove that you were a novice by not staying true to the things of God. Several years ago, there was a storm bearing down in Washington, D.C. As you know, of course, there's men that guard the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, a memorial to those who've given their lives in service for our country. The president always puts a wreath there on Memorial Day. And Hurricane Isabel was bearing down. The congressman fled from Washington. That was probably a good thing. Nothing wrong with that. President Bush went to Camp David to be safe, and he sent a notice down to the men that guarded the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And they said, listen, the weather is so severe, just take the next couple of days off. Now, you remember these men, they marched 21 steps right in front. Then they turn and they pause for 21 seconds. And then they march 21 steps back and they turn and pause again, day and night, in perfect formation. And these men sent the word back to President Bush, no, sir, we have a job to do. We have a minute, we have an opportunity, we have a responsibility, and we are going to honor the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And so can you imagine the winds as they came in? Can you imagine the pouring rain and still they marched? Was anybody out there to see them? Absolutely not. Everybody else had fled. But there at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier were some men who understood what it was like to have a job and to stay with it. To have a task that was more important than yourself and to keep on going. And it says here, continue in them. Continue in them. I just read in the last BIMI magazine, BIMI just about ready to celebrate their 50th anniversary, a lady, one of the first missionaries to go under BIMI, missionary for 50 years and was a missionary before that. And she went into the hospital room of Lee Robertson in his 90s, preaching into his 90s. These two giants of the faith. You know what Lee Robertson said to her in their 90s? Keep going. I like that, don't you? I like that with someone with enough courage to say, let's continue in the things that really matter. Let's continue in the things that really count. There's four warnings in our text. The first one is to our conduct. Secondly, to our creed. Thirdly, to our commitment. And fourthly, to our cause. Notice what it says in verse 16. For in doing this, I believe this refers to continue in them. Take heed to thyself and other doctrine. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, saving thyself, it's not talking about salvation from hell because we can't save ourselves. It's talking about the saving of a life, the saving of a ministry, the saving of an opportunity. He is talking about the cause of, first of all, the minister, and second of all, the ministry. First of all, you save yourself by a strong testimony, and then you have an opportunity to minister and to preach and to teach others. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Lest that by any other means, when I preach to others, there's a right message, I myself should be a castaway. In other words, he's saying you can have the right message, but if you don't have the right life, there's nothing to back it up. And that word castaway there means disapproved, set aside. I don't believe it so much that God has put some people on the shelf as they themselves have put them on self on the shelf by not watching their own life, by not staying true to the things that they learned and understood and have been taught. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 says, take heed unto thyself and unto the flock. First to yourself, then to the flock. You're not worthy of a flock until you first take heed to yourself. Until you first have looked into your own life. They just recently tore down Texas Stadium. It's where the Cowboys play. They could have tore it down 20 years ago for me. I don't care. But anyway, think about this. It's a metaphor for a person's life and ministry. It stood for decades. It took them 60 seconds to bring it down. And they'll be hauling the garbage away, they say, for 3 or 4 months. Boy, that's the wreckage of a life out of the will of God. That's the wreckage on a church, on a ministry, on a family of people that could preach and teach and people that knew all the answers but couldn't guard their lives, couldn't watch themselves. There is a cause for which God calls us to. The cause is to stay true to God. When we were in Bible college, there's two individuals I think of quite often. One on this side was Mr. Talent. He could sing. He could do everything. He was student body president. Over on this side was a guy with no talent, no ability. He believed God had called him to be a missionary to a Spanish-speaking country. He went to a public school. He learned. He had 4 years of Spanish in high school. He took all the Spanish we had in college. This guy over here with all the talent, all of the ability, he went out and lasted 1 year in the ministry. Left his wife for another woman. Isn't going to church. Isn't living for God. This guy over here, took him 5 years to get through college because he had to work and pay his own way. After 5 years, he went to Baptist World Mission. He went there and they said, listen, we can't send you out. You're not ready. And he said, tell me what to do. They told him what to do. He went back, took another year, did exactly what they said, went back a year later. And I know what they thought. They thought he's still not ready. But they said to him, if we turn you down this year, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to do whatever you say and I'm going to come back next year. And I'm going to come back the year after that. And this is what they said. They said, we don't think you can get to the field, but we're going to approve you to go. 9 months later, his plane was touching down in Uruguay. And 30 years later, he's a missionary in Mexico, still serving God. I tell you what it is. It's someone who understood what really counts and what really matters. Listen, this guy over here with talent could still be living for the Lord, but he's not. But this guy over here walked with God. Didn't seem to have much. I tell you what he does have. He's got preacher boys. He's got churches he started. I tell you why. Because he stayed true to the things of God. The text says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. For in doing this, continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. A man many years ago was injured in a farming accident. An arm was severed. his life was flowing from him. And as they stood at his bedside, they said to this man, they said, do you have any last words? And he said, tell the young preachers to stand up for Jesus. George Duffield took those words, and at his funeral, he wrote this poem. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. I love that last verse. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. God wants you, graduates, to have a long and fruitful ministry. The world needs you to have one, and you can have one if we take heed to the careful warnings in the Word of God. Let's pray.